Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Welcome to Radio Islam International on this Wednesday evening, 20th January. This is your world on Wednesday, and children and teens across the country started the new school year and academic year for the year 2016 last week Wednesday. So to discuss the importance of education in South Africa, we will be crossing over to Roshni, and inshallah we'll be speaking to the principal of Roshni Islamic School, Mr. Abdullah Suji. And then after 8:30, inshallah, we'll be crossing over to Newcastle, and to discuss with regards to the importance of Maktab, we'll be speaking to Molana Ridwan Rawat. But firstly, my engineer indicates to me that we have Mr. Suji on the line, who's the principal of Roshni Islamic School. Mr. Suji, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Suhail, and assalamu alaikum to all the listeners.
How are you, Mr. Suji, this evening?
Alhamdulillah, I cannot complain. The weather has been great this morning, and Alhamdulillah, we've been blessed with rains, given the situation in the country as we speak. So we also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us beneficial rain, and to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieve us of this drought.
Ameen, ameen. Jazakallah. Mr. Suji, before we start with the important topic of the importance of school educations in South Africa for the Muslim community, firstly, tell us regarding your school briefly, the role in your school, and a brief background regarding Roshni Islamic School.
Now, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed Roshni as a community. The community was fortunate enough to have men with vision, to have set up an institution for the community, which became known as the Roshni Islamic School, as early as 1986-87. And the school today is an example of what hard effort and good intent can reap. The community school, known as Roshni Islamic School, is a private school. It is subsidized by the state as well. We have a maximum number of approximately 540 children up to now. And from the year of its first matriculant to now, alhamdulillah, we have attained 100% pass rate. And many of the students of the school, by the will of Allah, have progressed into various degrees of excellence, and they have become, you know, professionals in their own way. And that in itself is a testimony to what the school stands for, and that is excellence. And alhamdulillah, the school in itself serves not only Roshni, but serves the wider community of the Vaal area, particularly those that are immediate to it. Alhamdulillah, I think that is sufficient to talk about Roshni. And our result last year has been phenomenal, because we had 100% pass rate. We had 43 A's and close on to 80 B's, and many, many C symbols, alhamdulillah, and the students themselves really did very well.
MashaAllah. So how many matriculated last year, Mr. Suji?
We had 45 who matriculated, and of the 45, we had an 84% bachelor pass rate. So that is phenomenal, you know, alhamdulillah. And obviously, one cannot ignore the fact that every Muslim school added a significant greatness to their district and to the national result.
Now, Mr. Suji, you have vast experience in teaching profession. Tell us the importance of school education for the Muslims that are living in South Africa.
To begin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that the seeking of knowledge is compulsory on every Muslim male and female. Then we find in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks of iqra, read. But he qualifies what we should read. Read in the name of Allah. Then the Quran by nature is replete with examples of knowledge and the seeking of knowledge. And the Quran by its very definition means it has to be recited. And whatever has to be recited has to be understood. So the Quran is an educational institution in itself. Therefore, one has to know that education is very important. Education is pivotal to the development of the human being. But education is not the transferring of information, because information is very much like a donkey carrying a load of books. Education is, I would say, it is received from the foot of the teacher. And when you're in front of the teacher, you learn much more. And when you learn, you grow as an individual to refine your character. So education in this country, really, and in the world over, is of primary importance to differentiate us. As in Surah 13, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ خَلَقَنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ التَّقْوِيمِ. So education is basically to refine us above that which is animal. In this country, we need education because it is the only source to institute greater social change. This country has artisans, has teachers, so on and so forth. All of the children who write the matric exam do not go into university, and all those at university do not qualify or do not graduate. But the basic education they receive at schools can assist them in generating social change. And that is the criteria of change, that education will provide the platform for meaningful change. A child who has not been to school, he becomes a brute. And that is why if you look at the current situation in Syria and the Middle East, where the wars have ravaged communities, where it has terrorized people, what it actually did, in essence, it has disrupted learning. So what you have in the Middle East now, where the wars are carrying on, you're having the, and it's not a nice way to say it, but it's the brutal fact, you're having the establishment of a brute, B-R-U-T-E, where a person is not educated anymore, he is not in the formal environment of any learning institution, he is traversing from one land to another just to get his basic needs fulfilled, which is shelter, clothing, and the likes. And there is no schooling. He's learning very differently the harsh realities of life, so he becomes hardened. And there's no other avenue to explore his learning, you see. So his education is the world of war, the world of what I would say spin streetwise. So in South Africa, for us to make a meaningful change is to become educated and transform this education into actual learning practice with a moral foundation, and thereafter you will definitely see a change. But it's not going to happen overnight, Brother Suhail, and I'm sure we'll pick up on these matters as you pose other questions, Suhail.
Mr. Suji, you have highlighted some vital points regarding the education and the importance of education for our kids here in South Africa. Now, how important is education for the development and progress of our Muslim communities?
That's a very important question, because let's look at the world over, my brother. If Vodacom, if MTN, Apple, and Microsoft were wiped off the face of this earth, what would be the loss? And this experience of knowledge comes from the brother who's my mentor, Sheikh Yawar Beg, who posed this question. The answer was exactly your gasp. We'd have been lost. This interview would not take place because of the technology that would come from these institutions and others. Correct?
Yes.
Now, look at it from the other brutal fact. If all of the Muslims were wiped off the face of this earth, what would be the loss? In terms of our technological advancement, moral development, the loss, would the world miss us? You know, we're not talking from the point of view where we're talking of the signs of Qiyamah. Please do not confuse that. I'm just making a hypothetical example, okay? So we don't want people to say, no, I'm talking nonsense here, because when there's no Muslim, the world will come to an end. We do understand that from our belief, and I attest to that. I believe in that. For our discussion purposes, what would be the loss to the world if the Muslims were not around? How many Muslim universities we have that the world would want to send their children to? Number three, how many schools that we have that would attract people from across the world to attend their to make sure their children attend? Can we compete with Harrow and Eton schools? Have we got a finishing school like in one first world country, in the high tech north, in Scandinavia and other countries? They have finishing schools just to teach a child manners. Which Muslim country attracts the greatest number of immigrants to come and work there? Hey? Now that's a gloomy picture, right? Now look at the world. If you look at South Africa, we have not established a Muslim university reputable enough and comparable enough to the ones out there already. So, as Voltaire said, good is the enemy of great. Alhamdulillah, Muslims, we are good people. We'll give charity. Alhamdulillah, we have the feeling of humanity at heart, where we have operation like Operation Hydrate, and we have many, many foundations whom Allah has blessed with lots of success, where humanitarian work has reached a very good level. That's good. Good is the enemy of great. Now, what can we showcase to the world as a Muslim achievement? The Muslims of the past, you know, have fulfilled their duties. The likes of Ibn Sina, the likes of Imam Al-Ghazali, the likes of our four a'imma, and various scholars have fulfilled their duties, both in the applied sciences and both in the revealed sciences. This idea of secular and Islamic is a misnomer, you know. In the applied sciences, they've applied themselves. They've invented the astrolabe. They've invented so many things that the modern scientists are relying on today. So you ask the question now, where is our place? Therefore, to answer the question, we need to rise and become excellent. We need to rise and establish institutions of greatness so that we become role players. Take our radio stations, for example. Can we compete with the major networks out there and change the mindset of people? The glorious answer, no. Major news networks around the world, whether it's audio or visual, have changed the mindset of people because of the excellent standards they've put for themselves to be influential in the society. Whether it's CNN, Fox, BBC, whatever it is, they have dominated the minds of people so much so that you and I think on their terms. We judge our own people on what we see on those networks. We are so stigmatized, you know, and we suffer from an inferiority complex that our Muslim schools are not good enough for Muslims, so we search around other schools where our children pick up values different and our aqidah is challenged by those institutions. Our own people condemn our own institutions. Our own people will condemn our own ulama, so on and so forth. So as Muslims, we need to rise above the foam on the ocean. We need to become waves. We need to make meaningful change by establishing grounds of excellence and development. And we need to start from the grassroots. And really, we have time on our hand. And the gap in the world today is there. And what is the gap? People across the world are looking for a Muslim solution because communism has failed, capitalism has failed, democracy has disillusioned many people. Look at Libya, it's a glaring example of a country in chaos, which was a functional country before, similarly with Syria. So yes, we really have to work hard in educating ourselves and making ourselves meaningful individuals in societies where we live. Before changing the world, work locally, act globally. And this discussion, Suhail, is a topic on its own, and I'm sorry, it cannot be answered in 5 minutes. So inshallah, let's take the next question and establish our discussion, Suhail. Okay.
Just to touch on one or two things you mentioned, you're currently the principal of a school in Roshni, and you have taught for many years, Mr. Suji. Would you say that we have a problem, we have crisis in South Africa with the education system to produce universities of high caliber that you just mentioned now?
Well, I'm not going to answer that question critically because I haven't got the research on it. However, what I would say is that our universities, you know, are very reputable. Really, they are reputable, and students from various parts of the world do come here for some degrees or the other. And the universities have a good standing in our societies, whether it's UJ, whether it's University of KwaZulu-Natal, whether it's the All-Round Afrikaans University. Now, you know, those universities have a very good standing in society. They are challenged because of the issues we are having currently with fees and the issues related to payment of fees, and obviously how those universities must evolve for the 21st, for the 22nd century, you see. So they are meeting the mark, I would imagine. However, we need more universities, we need more technical training colleges, we need more we need to re-establish teacher training colleges, because there is a shortage of teachers, whether it's at university or at schools. So South Africa is well established in terms of promoting or establishing the next phase in education. We have that potential. You know, potential basically just like a smart car in the garage. And you can discuss the potentials of that car until doomsday. If you're not going to switch on that car and become the driver of it, your potential is very much a good dream. So South Africa has the potential to change. And believe me, my brother, we have phenomenal challenges in basic education. That means from grade R up to grade 12. We have phenomenal problems. And we have tremendous challenges. Phenomenal meaning, phenomenal because it allows opportunity for some greatness to happen. And if we don't get the basics right, we're going to have serious problems, because too few people are graduating as teachers. We have a shortage of qualified math, science and accounting teachers. We have a problem with numbers in classes. We have a proliferation of independent schools. And we have, not that it's a bad thing, and we have many, many state schools which are closing down. For example, in Port Elizabeth, I saw on the news this morning that 50 schools in Port Elizabeth are closing or have closed down already, which translates to many other problems. So South Africa is in a position of tremendous difficulty when it comes to meeting the education and needs for today. And one cannot blame everything now on the apartheid, you know. We need to look at what we have. The bird in the hand is better than two in the bush. I think that answers the question. Suffice to say that we need to really work hard at education, because education is the hallmark of a nation, you know, and that is important.
So, Mr. Suji, as time is against us, the final question, and inshallah we hope to speak to you and discuss these important topics regarding education more in details. But like our topic for this evening is the importance of school education, final question is, with education, will we be able to eradicate unemployment and crime in South Africa?
So absolutely, absolutely. You know, that's a no-brainer. When a person is educated, potentials are ignited. And like the example given, potentials, the example is of a car. It's in the garage. It has the potential to take you to Durban, Cape Town, B. But you have to get in that car and drive it, isn't it? So education ignites potentials. And when the individual realizes the need to work and the need to become successful, those potentials are put to use. When a person is a brute, you become streetwise in a different manner, and you become perhaps the drug lords of the world, or you become criminal in your activities. Not that educated people cannot be criminals, but an education will give you a moral focus. It will allow you to look at life differently. And if you look at the situation as we speak, because of education and the world of the World Wide Web, Young people have become multimillionaires already with very entrepreneurial ideas, which they've put into action because of the basic education they received. And the basic education they received was how to read, write, comprehend, and do basic mathematics. And they understood their potential. Then they became wealthy. And they've surpassed many people in many ways. So education can eradicate poverty, yes. And poverty also, one must understand its reasons. I mean, its root. You get a person who's physically poor because of not having a house and a car. And then you have a person who's you know, impoverished in the mind. They cannot think for themselves, and they become a burden to society because they're begging all the time when they have the potential to work. So education can eradicate poverty. It can. Education can give opportunity. It is just for us to make the point of getting educated, because South Africa needs more people who are artisans, who are good at what they do. Find a good plumber, find a good artisan, find a good fitter and turner, and the list goes on, and they are scarce. And when people are self-employed, they become productive. When people are not employed, what happens? To add to this, you know, ask yourself this question. I was told by a brother that in one community there were 300 boys who completed their HEVs but had no schooling background. So what do you do with 300 Hufas now? Where do they get employed? All cannot be employed in a masajid, because a masjid can only take 1 to 2 imams at the most. What happens to the balance of 298? They got no skills to be employed, and all of them are not alim, so that means they have less of a skill. So we need to understand that the applied knowledge together with the revealed knowledge has to be welded together, and that makes an individual. Because if a person is a painter and it is a very good alim, what is wrong? He paints in the name of Allah, and when on his free time he gives dars to the people. We have just stigmatized people into certain posts, and we keep them there. Like, he's a cobbler, he's a shoemaker, and we've put a bad name to it, you know, a connotation that is negative. Whereas if you go into our history, some of the greatest alima were cobblers. They were artisans, but they had the deep knowledge that they put into practice. So we just got to understand there's no job below our dignity. It's honest. When a person realizes that he has to put food on the table and it's halal, income is halal, this barakah. So an educated person will look for halal or honest living, and he'll make means to get it. So in conclusion, let us understand that we have a potential to be educated, and we must not waste the opportunity. Because I'll conclude on a verse of the Quran, an ayah from the Quran, and which of the favors of your Lord can you deny? And remember the hadith, the feet of Adam alayhi salam will not move until 5 hadiths, and one of them is the knowledge. What did you do with it in your youth, and how you spent it? So if you were given an opportunity to be at school and work and learn, and you slipped this opportunity, my brother, my sister, we have a lot to answer for. So hey, Jazakallah for a wonderful interview, and I think we will want to do this program again, because there's so much to talk about. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was Mr. Abdullah Suji, who is the principal of Roshni Islamic School, mentioning some important and interesting points. What's the importance of school education? We will also discuss the importance of Makatib and sending our children for dini education. That will be after the break. We go for a break. When we return, inshallah, we cross over to Newcastle and speak to Molina Ridwan Rawat Street.